want to turn to Genesis, and I'm going to pray. Is that recording this morning okay, Stephen? Okay, let's just pray. Father, as we begin this new series this morning, we ask, Lord God, that you would separate us from the self in us, so that, Lord God, we can be joined more readily to Christ through this series, so that we can get to know him more intimately, so that, Lord God, we can offer ourselves more readily to his service, to be used by him, to take what we learn, Lord God, to apply it in our own lives, but, Lord God, to teach it to others, whether it's maybe just over a cup of tea or coffee, talking to people about Jesus and about what we've heard, or whether it is, Lord God, sharing a testimony in one of the nursing homes, or whatever other means, Lord God, we just pray, Lord, that, you know, it's more than Sunday morning coming here to listen to the word. It's about taking it on board and over the week chewing on it and sharing it with others. So let your word do its work, Lord, please. As we commit this series to you, Father, we pray that the Spirit of the living God would shed light upon the word, would shed his power, Lord God, over our hearts and minds, and help us to have a clearer view of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, following on from August Spiritual Warfare, we're now beginning a new series called Knowing Jesus. You know, the spiritual warfare finished with knowing your God. And, you know, it's easy enough to say you got to know God, but the best way to do that is to know Jesus, because as Dave did a series of talks here some years ago, he says, if you want to see what the Father looks like, if you want to understand anything about the Father, you look to Jesus, because Jesus is the exact representation of him. And so each week we're going to take a biblical title attributed to Jesus and study it to help gain some insight into who Jesus really is. Because we all use terms, we sing the terms, Jesus' name above all names. What does that mean? Jesus who is Lord, what does that mean? Emmanuel. You know, we rhyme these things. As I said, Christians are the guiltiest people in the world for using cliches. And we use them very often to unbelievers who think, what the hell are they talking about? I remember this guy saying to me, are you washing the blood of the lamb? And I thought I had to go through some sort of sacrificial ritual, you know, where a lamb would be killed and I had to sort of get its blood sprinkled on me. I didn't understand that it was terminology used for Jesus. So as we're going to be looking at these titles, it's not about merely gaining head knowledge. It's about getting to know Jesus more intimately and experiencing his life, his love, and his power in us and through us. As I said last week in relation to Keith's previous talk, if we want to know our Bibles, well, then the best way to do it is to read them and to ask the Holy Spirit to shed light on our understanding and on the Word of God so that we can understand it. If we want to learn to pray, we can look to the Bible at some of the incredible prayers that are recorded for us, or learn from Jesus and how he taught his disciples to pray with, for example, the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know if you ever take the time to look at the Lord's Prayer, but when you look at it even word for word and use that to pray it back to God, you soon learn how to pray. So if we want to learn how to pray, we look to Jesus. If we want to learn how to read to understand the Bible, we read the Bible and we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. If we want to enjoy Christian fellowship, well, then we head down to Cafe Keogh. Now, let me tell you, on a Saturday night, you might think I'm wrong, because half the Christians who are down there think that's fellowship. If we want to enjoy Christian fellowship, we need to meet with other Christians, people of like mind. And so it automatically leads to, if we want to know Jesus, we need to spend time with Jesus. Or as I said last week, we need to be practicing the presence of God. We never get it perfect. We've got to keep on practicing the presence of God. So to begin our series this morning, I'm taking us right back to the beginning, to Genesis. So if you've got a Bible with you now, don't be shocked the way I go through this morning. There's a point. So, Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verses 5 and 6. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Verse 6. Then God said. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. Verse 9. Then God said. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth. Verse 11. Then God said. Verse 14. Then God said. Verse 20. Then God said. Verse 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth, blah, blah, blah. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them. Verse 29, and God said. Does anybody get the point here? The point that I'm trying to make this morning, or that I'm seeking to put across this morning, is that God speaks. God speaks. You can go through that chapter and you will find that nothing in that chapter happens unless God speaks. He spoke and things came into existence that never previously existed. That's incredible. He just spoke and things happened. Things that were never before happened. By his word, the worlds came forth, and by his word, they continue to this day. If you turn quickly to Hebrews chapter 11, and it's only one verse, you can trust me it's there if you can't turn to it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says this, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were seen were not made of things which were visible. Do you understand? He's saying the same thing here that was being said in Genesis. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith we understand. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Nothing happened unless God spoke. Now, none of us, the writer is getting the point here, none of us were there at the beginning of creation. And so this New Testament writer again emphasizes that by his word, God brought into being all that exists. It requires, he tells us, it requires faith to believe this. And why it requires faith is because we weren't there to see it happening. That's all that that means. It doesn't say there's some mystery in all of this. It just says you weren't there and it requires you to have faith. It requires faith to believe this, especially at a time when people are being conditioned to accept that everything materialized as a direct result of a big bang which occurred from nothing out of nowhere. Isn't that absolutely incredible? Scientists are supposed to be smart people, and they want us to believe that this big bang happened out of nowhere from nothing. And then they say, well, no, there was atoms, and there was molecules and all of these things. I don't even know scientific language. But there was all these things. Well, where did they all come from? They had to come from somewhere. Somewhere behind it all, there lies a creator. Do you know the Big Bang Theory only came about since 1920? Up until then, people had no idea. And the vast majority of people just believed that God created everything, as the Bible says. You see, I think it takes more faith to believe in the 1920s Big Bang theory than actually believing that God is the creator of all things. You see, the Bible says God is the creator of all things. But have you ever asked yourself the most simplest question with regard to Genesis and with regard to yourself when you look in the mirror? Have you ever asked yourself, why did he do it? Why did God create everything? Well, some people think, well, you know, God's God, and he was sitting up in the heavens and he was a bit lonely, so he thought, I'll just create man, and somewhere down the road they'll create an organization called the Samaritans, and I'll give them a wee ring and let them know how lonely I am. Now, don't get me wrong, the Samaritans are a wonderful organization and they help save many people's lives, and I'm not mocking the Samaritans. What I'm mocking here is this ridiculous idea that somehow God was sitting in the heavens feeling sorry for himself and feeling lonely. I'm so lonely, I'll just create things. It's a nonsense. Why did God do it? Well, I believe God created everything to make himself known to us, to reveal his love for us so that we might love him. And so approximately 1,500 years before Jesus was born, Moses wrote in the book of Genesis about the beginning of creation, which, by the way, occurred many hundreds of years before even Moses lived. And so he was inspired by God to write, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And Moses tells us, when you read it in Genesis there, "In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God." There is nothing outside of that. "In the beginning, God." And then he says, Moses tells us, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth." Now, I'll tell you, we laugh here. Every time I read this verse, I can never, ever get it out of my head of a friend of mine who has gone to be with the Lord called Ricky Aylborn. Because Ricky Aylborn's English was atrocious. And when he would have got up and read out here, he would have said, "And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face." And you sort of get this image, "Here we go." Yeah. Cleaning up the mess. A bit like Rocky here on Thursday night, you know. There was the Spirit of the Lord getting the hoover out, you know. It's hovering. He was hovering over the face. God bless Ricky. He used to give me some laughs. But he was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, here's what you see. You could read this again, like we just rhyme off cliches, so we read verses and just ignore what's said. You find verses says, "In the beginning, God." And then we're told, "And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth." So we can see God is there. And we can see that the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over the face of the waters. And yet, in verse 26 of chapter 1, look at what it says. "God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness," or according to our likeness. Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. To whom is God speaking when he says, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness"? Is it just God, maybe schizophrenic, when he gets lonely, you know, speaking to himself, another wee personality that he has? Is he just maybe speaking to the Spirit? "Yo-ho, let us make man in our image." Who's God speaking to when he says this? Well, turn with me, please, to John chapter 1. And you will find here the answer to this. When you read this and other God-inspired authors, and I'll point these out in a moment. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. "In the beginning." What does Genesis start with? "In the beginning." "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made." Shoot down to verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, reading these inspired words of John, I'm going to ask again. Be careful how you answer. To whom is God speaking when he says in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness? Well, according to John, God is speaking to one who is called the Word of God. And John tells us the Word was in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later he gives us another clue when he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now if I ask, to whom is God speaking when he says, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, how would you answer? The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Now look at what John says about Jesus, the Word of God. He, Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. He is God, and all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. This is incredible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm flying through just to show you, this is really in the Bible, with these different passages. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Do you hear that? Nothing was made without Jesus. And Jesus is the Word of God. So who is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God was in the beginning with God, was God, and is God still. Jesus is the Word of God, and all things were created through him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then God said, he spoke, and it happened. Now listen. This is about not gaining head knowledge. Head knowledge is nice, but it's about trying to get a better understanding of Jesus and who Jesus is. And maybe to inform us better when we're praying as well. So let me put it to you this way. The Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus, right? The Word of God is the divine revelation. God speaks and things happen. Things are revealed, things become intelligible, and things become understandable. The Word of God is the divine expression, the divine voice that speaks reason and creative order, keeps everything in order. Never, ever believe that this world is out of control. God is always, always in control. Because the Word of God, who is the Word of God? Jesus is the divine expression, the divine voice that speaks reason and creative order. Now, having said that, remember what I said earlier about God creating everything. Why? Why did God create everything? Because he wanted to make himself known. He wanted people to know him. Not so they could go, oh, but so that he could love us and we in turn would love him back. So if God created everything to make himself known, when he created everything, it's obvious then that God was making himself known. This will make sense in a moment. In Romans chapter 1, And in verse 20, God's word says this: "For since the creation of the world," His, speaking about God, "for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they," that's all mankind, "so that they are without excuse," particularly those who disobey God, "so that they are without excuse." Do you hear what's being said here? From the beginning of time, since God began creating things, He was making known Himself so that every human being is without excuse. God wanted to make Himself known, and so through His word, He created the worlds and everything in them. Why did God do this? So that we could know Him. Creation declares the glory of God. I remember John Kelly coming one time and talking about a flower and how just looking at flowers should be declaring the glory of God. Everything in creation declares the glory of God. It tells us, that flower tells us that God exists and that He loves us and that He wants us to know Him. But you know something? Our God loves us so much and knows that we're as thick as planks, and that a flower may not actually tell us that God exists. A baby being born might not tell us that God exists. People dying might not tell us that God exists. And God is a God who wants to make Himself known. And from the Garden of Eden, God has always spoken to mankind through creation, through His people, through His prophets, making Himself and His will known. God then graciously gave mankind His word. He gave us Moses and the law. But it wasn't enough, because God always wants to make Himself known. And again, seeking to make Himself known to us so that we could know that He loves us and that we might love Him, He did something more wonderful. To quote the Christian author and the preacher Don Stewart, says this: "Jesus is the personification of both the spoken and written Word of God. In the Old Testament, God revealed Himself through His Word and through the prophets and through His law, while in the New Testament, the Word of God was revealed to us in a person, God the Son." Jesus is the Word of God become flesh. Why did Jesus, the Word of God, become flesh and dwell among us? He came to make God known to us in a personal and intimate way. Jesus, the Word of God, is God manifested in the flesh in human likeness to reveal God to us and to reconcile estranged mankind to God. Mankind is separated from God because of sin. Mankind is ignorant of God and of God's ways. And even when God gives us creation, people still can't see it. People will say, "Well, show me God, show me God, show me God." And God says, "I'm all over the place. I'm everywhere. You can see me in the flowers at the table. You can see me in the people. You can see me in the mirror. Because you're made in the image and likeness of God." But people can't see Him because sin blinds us and the God of this world blinds us. But Jesus is the Word of God manifested in the flesh in human likeness to reveal God to us. If you want to know what God looks like, look to Jesus. Or as someone put it this way, Jesus is God in self-revelation to His creation. And you know something? Just as it takes faith to believe how creation happened, because we weren't there at the time, so it takes faith to believe that Jesus is the Word of God, that He is God in the flesh who has come to make God known. Jesus is the eternal Word of God. The spoken and written Word personified. Why do you think Jesus could say, all of the law is fulfilled in me? Didn't say all of the word is fulfilled by me. All of the law is fulfilled by me. All of it is fulfilled in me. Because he's saying, I am the written word of God. I am the law of God. I am the spoken word of God. I am the one who said, let there be light. And it happened. Jesus is the eternal word of God, spoken and written word personified. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we might know God. Christian, God is always speaking. How often would you even read in Genesis and God said, let there be light, and God said this, and God said that, and you just read it. You're not realizing God is speaking. God is speaking. And God is always speaking, seeking to reveal his will and his ways to us. Even in our services, when people read and others are who were Cyril, others who were reading out of their Bibles, were reading passages that they believe inspired by God, they wanted to read these out because God is always speaking. God is always wanting to reveal his will and his purposes. And so, Christian, if we truly want to know him, if we truly want to know his purposes, we need to know his word, Jesus. We've got to put on Jesus, press ourselves into Jesus, and let the word of God work in us and through us. Christian, do you really want to know Jesus? I know as Christians, you know him. Or you couldn't call yourself a Christian. But do you want to know him more intimately? Do you want to know him more experientially? Do you want to experience his life and his love and his power at work in you? Then you got to press yourself into him. Because God is always speaking. Maybe there's someone here or someone listening to the podcast who's not a believer. Well, I need to tell you that all that can be known about God, all of his attributes, everything that can be known about God is clear to all people. Everyone, the Bible says. Everyone. Doesn't matter if you're in the far end of the world. Doesn't matter if you're living in the Vatican City with all of the religious symbols and things around you that point to God. Everyone is without excuse. God has made himself known to us by his creation, by his people and prophets, and by his word, Jesus. It takes faith to believe what God has said. But then, what's your alternative? A Big Bang theory? That everything came about by chance, from nothing and nowhere? If you want to know God personally and intimately, then you must do what he says. Repent. Turn around. Change the way you think about God and the way you have thought about God. Change the way you think about sin and the way you have thought about sin. Turn around and turn to God. And simply believe in Jesus, the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for that wonderful title that belongs to Jesus. He is the Word of God. He was with God in the beginning. He is God. He always will be God. Thank you that that Word became flesh and dwelt among us to make you known. Lord, of course, we always focus on Jesus coming into this world to die, to pay the price for sin, and that indeed, Lord God, is what he has done. But fundamentally, Father, he came to make you known. And how wonderful he is. And how he has shown us how wonderful you are. We have been so blinded by sin that we fail to see you so often in your creation. Lord, open our eyes to see you more. open our hearts to love you more. And open our lives, Lord God, to receive more of Jesus. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Let's stand to sing our last song.